The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome to Generations Radio. I wanted to wish everybody a great, hopefully you had a great summer. This is now September and getting into the latter part of the fall year. If you haven't picked up a copy of the most recent Generations Magazine, the August-September issue, it features our friend here, Stacey Hayashi, executive producer, and really the person that really got this movie going, the Go For Broke movie, an origin story, as you say, right, Stacey? And I want to welcome Stacey to the show, and also Ted Tsukiyama. How are you, Ted?
Okay.
So this is radio now, so don't worry about it. People can't see you. But I did want to start, Stacey. Stacey, if you give us a little history of, really a quick history of the movie, and then really your involvement with, and your friendship with Ted.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Percy, for having us.
Well, thank you.
I'm very excited. So this movie called Go For Broke, I've been working on it for the last 17 years, and I've known Ted for pretty much all of that time, too. Huh?
Really?
Yeah. And so it's an origin story about the beginnings of the 100th Battalion, 442nd Regimental Combat Team, and how it came to be. And also the Military Intelligence Service, which is not talked about enough. But really, as Ted has said many times over the years, there would be no 442 without Hawaii, you know, without right. The original 100th Battalion and the Varsity Victory Volunteers, which was actually a very small group that not everybody knows about, which Ted was actually second in command of.
You're second in command.
Yes, to Ralph Yampuku, right?
Wow. And so let me back up. What made you want to get involved with this? What made you want to
tell
the
story?
Of the story? Why do you think the story is so important, Stacey?
Well, the story of the 100, the 442, the MIS, it's so important. Like we wouldn't have all these opportunities that we do have if not for them. And it's not like a Japanese American story. It's a Hawaii story. It's an American story, and they went on to save the world, really. And it's sad to me that people don't know who they are, especially younger generations, because as they get older, you know, they're not in the news anymore. They're not in the community as much. So I thought that a movie would kind of cement their place in history and the significance of what they did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, and that's the reason why you're on a cover of the Generations Magazine, our August-September issue, because, guys, it's going to be shown at the Blaisdell Concert Hall, September 27th,
mm-hmm.
1, 5, and 8 p.m.
5:30.
Yeah. On September 27th, it's a Thursday, and actually Stacey will be the movie will be the ambassador of the senior fair that weekend prior, September 21, 22, and 23, even though you're not a senior, Stacey. But I want you to give us, I want you to introduce Ted, and Ted, can you give us a little background on, I realize you grew up in Kaimuki.
Yes.
And in the 17th Avenue, you said.
Yes.
So when the war broke out, or what got you involved with the 100th Battalion and
the VVV? Well, first it was the Hawaii Territorial Guard.
Oh,
and
right.
So this is in the movie. So you'll see a young, attractive actor playing Ted. His name is Michael Shaw. And then Ted actually is in the movie, too, with Bishop Fujitani. They have cameos.
Right. So, Ted, can you explain maybe the Hawaii Territorial Guard? Because a lot of people don't know what that was. I didn't even know what that was as well.
Well, it's really the University ROTC. And on December 7th morning, the ROTC was called out. So we reported. And that unit was converted. I think we were given arms, yeah, and
five bullets,
yeah, and five bullets.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were still in college then,
right?
My father actually was in the ROTC as well at University of Hawaii. Mm. Later on in, I believe, the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually missed the Korean War because he was still in school.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the Hawaii Territorial Guard, a lot of people don't know that, but you can read it in the magazine. But so how did the transition from to the VVV? Do you remember?
Well, the HDG, Territorial Guard, was, you know, called out that morning and as a part of the ROTC. And we reported at the campus for duty and was issued rifles. And they set us to guard different installations in the city.
Really? Well, that must, I mean, you're a college student. Mm-hmm. Were you scared at all, can I ask?
Well, this was ROTC, and you know, we're armed. It was, you know, guard duty. It was we didn't go out and
shoot anybody.
Shoot anybody, no.
And some of the guys didn't know how to use their guns, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
that must have been scary.
yeah, because ROTC was mostly marching with a rifle,
right?
And we never got to the rifle range, so we had not learned how to shoot the gun.
And so you were sent to Manoa Stream, right? Because we thought paratroopers had landed at the top of St. Louis Heights.
the radio announcement. Said that, you know, Hawaii was under attack, and we were attacked by Japanese enemy planes. So as a ROTC unit, we responded to the headquarters up at the university, and we were posted various places in the city, like guarding the palace and the telephone company and water supplies and all that stuff.
So that's why it's so important that I got involved with Stacy with the movie when I heard about the movie, because my Uncle Terry, Teruo Ihara, mm-hmm. was in the 442nd.
Yeah, right.
And it's so important for, like, our family. Like, my father was in ROTC and he became an Army officer, but mm-hmm. all our grandkids and the great-grandkids, mm-hmm. we're going to have them see the show so they can know the history of these great heroic men. But like I said, this is about Hawaii and how all of you folks, you actually went to college and became an attorney and came back to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of the heroes that we have in Hawaii who are not known to a lot of people and should be, I think.
So can you tell us a little bit about the VVV? Or, I know, Stacy, you're such a historian. How the VVV got started?
Well, So 6 weeks after December 7th, the government realized, oh, my God, there are Japs guarding Hawaii. And that was the original 100. Before they were the 100, they were in the 298th Regiment and the 299th. And then here are these kids in the Hawaii Territorial Guard. And so they kicked out all the Japanese Americans.
Took the guns away. And took
away. And it was like, what, January, end of January. Mm-hmm. And it was very insulting because they actually disbanded, right? And then they rebanded the next day, but just without all the Japanese guys. Yeah.
Really?
So Ted always describes that as it was like the end of the world for them, you know? Like a bomb had exploded in their midst.
Because they're American, even though they're Japanese, they're Americans. I know that. And I watched part of the excerpt of the movie. And how they really, you have to make a decision whether to continue or not. Is that correct, Ted?
Well, there was no decision. It was
they were automatic. Kicked out. Yeah, they were kicked out, so they went back to UH, and they were mm-hmm. very dejected. Mm-hmm. And then, so you guys were under the tree, right, by Sinclair Library? And then what happened? Hung Wai Ching, what did he say?
Well, Hung Wai Ching was the executive secretary of the YMCA and Atherton YMCA, and he came up to encourage and console us and encourage us to be good citizens, and so we reported. I think we were part of the ROTC, I guess, at that time. So they gave us guns, yeah.
Well, but the VVV, so you're at UH, right? And then you had been kicked out. So he's telling you, well, why don't you, if they won't trust you with a gun, then they'll trust you with pick and shovel.
Mm-hmm. Well,
petitioned
we asked how,
the military.
How
governor.
We could serve. If they, didn't trust us with arms, guns. And so they formed this labor battalion of Nisei University students. So 157 students from the UH became part of what they call the VVV, the Varsity Victory Volunteers. And we served for about a year doing guard duty, and later on they took the guns away from us after a few months, I think, and so we volunteered as a labor battalion, and that became the given the nickname of Varsity Victory Volunteers, the triple V.
A lot of people don't know that the VV, what the VV, I didn't even know what the VVV was as well.
Right, and they have a monument, too, at UH.
Whereabouts at UH is the monument?
If you walk into the Queen of the Kalani Student Services Building, you walk up the steps, and there it is.
Really?
Yeah.
We gotta get a picture of that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, Ted and Akira Otani, you know, all the VVV guys, they're sort of dejected. They're like, wow, nobody remembers us. And I'm like, dude, nobody knows that that's a monument, you know? They think it's just art. Because I was at UH when they put it up, and I thought it was art.
Really?
I had no idea. Yeah. So we put together a ceremony for the anniversary of the formation of the VVV. I want to say 2015, and we had like a little ceremony, and we draped some leis on it and gave us... Ted, did you give a speech? I'm trying to remember. But Bishop Fujitani gave the invocation, and President Lassner came down. He talked a little bit, too. So we had all these chairs, and the UH ROTC came out and did color guard. Yeah. So it's there, and it is a monument. And there's a plaque with all their names on it.
Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're here with Stacey Hayashi, the executive producer of the Gopher Broke movie, an origin story, and Ted Tsukiyama. Now, Ted, so after the war... What did you end up doing? You got your degree, and you came back to Hawaii as an attorney?
Yes. Law school and...
Where did you go for law school?
I went to Yale Law School.
You went to Yale Law School? Wow. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what are things...
Who did you work for?
You mean...
Didn't you work for Masaji Marumoto?
Oh, that was
for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Masaji Marumoto is also in the movie.
Wow.
He was part of the emergency morale committee. Well, actually, he wasn't, but he helped Robert Shivers, who's the head of the FBI. So in the movie, he's played by Peter Shinkoda, who's the bad guy in Daredevil.
Oh, right. That's why it's so important, guys, to come and see the movie on September 27th. And it's so important that we hear these stories and see the movie. And I know Ted's in the movie. And who plays him now, Stacey?
Michael Shaw.
Okay. And so, Stacey, what else will people see in the movie when it comes to these heroes?
Wow. Well, there's a lot going on, actually. And I hope people see it more than once, because I've heard from people who have watched it several times that every time they watch it, they see something new that they'd missed before. It's a very dense movie. Like, we packed so much into it, as much as we could. And even saying that, we had to cut so much that I really wanted to include, But it's not. So it's the central story is of the Varsity Victory Volunteers and the formation and what led to the formation of the 442. But it's not just that group of university students. It's the people who supported them, their families, the original 100th Battalion, who were not even the 100th Battalion yet, and what they did to help effect that that formation as well.
And I know the second half of this show today, we're going to have Director Alex Bocheri.
Bocheri.
And Dean Sensui, one of the producers, besides Stacy. So, Ted, you know, you're 98 years old. You're still going. And is there anything that stands out in your mind, your memory about, you know, being in the 100th Battalion, 442nd, and going to war? Because I know you were more of a...
He was actually MIS. Yeah. So he was part of the original. So the VPV, they were the honored 442 guys because, so they're in the front of that picture. That famous photo is at Pearl Harbor, you know, the whole wall at the visitor center. But so a lot of those guys, since they were university students, they were very smart. They were pulled for their language skills. And so Ted was actually, he says he was an eavesdropper. So modest. But they tapped wires in Burma, right? You're in Burma.
Yeah, we listened to the
pilots.
Japanese fighter pilots talking, and so we translate that.
Mm-hmm. This went on for a long time.
Well,
intelligence was a priority.
This was out in Burma.
Right.
Yeah. During the war.
So they dragged Ted from the 442. He was with the 522 field artillery. So those are the guys, the big guns, and they did all the math. So they dragged him kicking and screaming from the 442 to go and help with the MIS. And that's what did.
Hard to believe. You know, Ted's actually story, his own story, is actually in the October-November 2016 edition of Generations Magazine. If you go online to generations808.com and you can look in our issue, browse the issues, and you'll see his story. What's amazing, Ted, is that the Japanese didn't know you were eavesdropping on them.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
And see, he makes a light of it. But I mean, these were critical things that they did because it was the MIS, for example, that knew Admiral Yamamoto's flight plans. And so that's how we were able to shoot him down and we killed
really?
Him. Really? Yeah, and Japan was so demoralized by that they didn't tell anyone that he had died for a month. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So not insignificant at all. And what's sad to me is that they're not really appreciated because they were classified for so long. They weren't allowed to talk about what they did for 30 years. But they're credited by General Willoughby, who was second in command to MacArthur, by shortening the war in the Pacific by 2 years and saving over 1 million lives.
Yeah. And they couldn't talk about it, even to their family members. I remember I had a neighbor, their grandfather was an MIS, and they couldn't talk about what they did. A lot of the family didn't. Their parents, even some of their wives, didn't know this. Did your kid? Did your children didn't know? I believe probably your children didn't even know.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
Not a lot at all.
Just about the VVV, right?
Do you have any memory of the VVV and some of your close college buddies?
Well, the VVV was really part of the. Well, we reported as part of the University ROTC that morning, December 7th, and reported for duty and showed up at the campus, and then we got assigned to guard various buildings in the city.
But that was a group that you loved most, right? I mean, even after the war, those are your buddies. So you guys had reunions.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
And you didn't have reunions with your MIS friends, mm-hmm. right? Because really? They were small mm-hmm. squads, 10 yeah, at the yeah. most.
10 at the most?
Yeah.
But, we were part of the University ROTC.
So you guys have a scholarship, too, right, at UH? For the VVV. Really? Mm-hmm.
I think we do, yeah.
And actually, Ralph Yompuku, he gathered, what was it, like $85,000 or something from, and this group was not a big group, you know, like 169 of them served, and he kept the money under his bed And he was so stressed out about it. And then when he had enough, he took it to the bank and they had the endowment done. And then he passed away, like the next day, right, Ted?
Mm-hmm. He told me. Something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a heart attack.
But that's how important this scholarship was. So
Stacey, tell us more about, you know, a lot of people, when they see the movie, they don't know much about the VVV, but then that group was the one that started the 100th Battalion? Is that correct?
No. So it was the original 100th Battalion and the VVV together, what they did and how they... So the 100th Battalion was at Camp McCoy, Wisconsin, training, and they're breaking all these training records. Meanwhile, at home, the VVV is digging ditches and building structures and, you know, just showing their patriotism. So, and then the Assistant Secretary of War, John McCloy, he came for a visit, as did Eleanor Roosevelt, the First Lady, and Hung Wai Ching, who was sort of like their, they call him the father of the VVV because, you know, he was such a great supporter.
He was of Chinese ancestry.
Chinese guy, yeah. But he knew them because he was Executive Secretary of the YMCA. So he knew all them growing up, their families, everything. And so he was a huge champion. Like, in fact, when the 442 left Hawaii for training, Senator Inouye was always very upset about this, and for good reason. It's like no one was allowed to be – so the families were held back with guns. They weren't allowed to go and hug their sons as they marched off. And some of them couldn't even carry their bags because they were so heavy. But yet Hung Wai Ching was the only one allowed on the pier to say goodbye to them. And then he flew ahead of the 442. He went to, when they landed in San Francisco, and he made sure that all the boys got to go eat a Chinese dinner.
Really?
Yeah, Chinese food in San Francisco. And then they all got on a train, and he flew ahead of them to Mississippi. And there are all these signs of very anti-Japanese sentiments.
I'm sure.
And he's telling them, no, these are good boys. They're Americans. You're going to like them. And the signs came down. So Hung Wai Ching, really instrumental.
You said they were together with the 100th Battalion.
Oh, sorry, yeah. So they were not with the 100th Battalion.
Oh.
Yeah, so the 100th Battalion was in Camp McCoy, Wisconsin, training, breaking training records.
Asian or
all Japanese, yes. And so most of them were draftees. So these were guys who were already in the Army on December 7th. So in 1940, the U.S. government federalized our Hawaii National Guard. So they became part of the U.S. Army. So they're still stationed at Schofield. It's a very historic unit. It's part of it's the 25th Infantry Division, you know, that Tropic Lightning.
Yeah.
And so the 298th and the 299th, there were, all races in these, you know, in the National Guard, of course. And then they became the 298th on Oahu, stationed at Schofield, and 299th were all like neighbor island units. And what they did in May of 42, you know, we're going to have the Battle of Midway. They didn't like all these so-called Japs and, you know, guarding Hawaii. So they segregated them. They became the Hawaii Provisional Battalion, and they stuck them on a boat, the SS Maui, and they sent them to the mainland for training.
Wow.
Yeah. And then by the time they landed, they had become the 100th Battalion, separate. And that designation, and they called themselves the One Puka Puka, because
right.
Zero looks like a puka, right? But so they went to Camp McCoy. They're training, breaking all these training records. But their number, that 1100, it signified that they were an orphan unit. Nobody wanted them. Yeah.
But so when the war broke out, even though they were Japanese Americans, the government still allowed them because...
Well, they were in the Army already.
Already.
Yeah. They had been in the Army since 1940. They were serving their draft time. Yeah.
That's interesting. So, Ted, thank you so much for being here today with us. I love these stories. And history is so important that our younger kids, even our baby boomers like myself, didn't know a lot of this story, and so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this out. And having you here today, it's an honor to have you here. I know you were on our cover in 2016, but it's good to see you again. we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back with our producer and director of the movie, with join Stacey here, talk about the Go For Broke movie that's coming out at the Blaisdell Concert Hall September 27th. One.
Tickets are on sale now.
Yeah, tickets are on sale now on Ticketmaster, or you can go down to the Blaisdell
box office.
But September 27th, 1 o'clock, 5:30, and 8 o'clock.
Yes.
So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere?
At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay.
That's a private at the Cow.
Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play.
That's a private at the Cow.
We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
That's a private at the Cow.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
A very important period is coming up, what we call AEP, Annual Election Period, from October 15 to December 7.
The annual election period is when you can change from one plan to another. The plans change. The benefits, coverage, and premiums may be different. So know what you should have. What are your current health needs, your budget, and priorities? You need to make sure the medications you are currently taking are covered and that your doctor is in the network you're looking at.
Like we mentioned before, all plans are different. There's no one plan that's good for everybody. Everybody got different wants and needs. Call us and we can help you.
Helping you work your way through the confusion, Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. 591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer.
5914777. Who's got the best deals of Vegas around? Call 5914777 today. Vacations Hawaii. Good luck, we go play. trip on Saturday.
Good luck.
We gon' play.
Complete 4 and 5 night packages from $6.99. Vacations Hawaii, your favorite connection to Vegas.
Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. We're talking about the Go For Broke movie, an origin story that's coming out September 27th at the Blaisdell Concert Hall. It's a Thursday night. Well, actually, Thursday, 1 o'clock, 5:30, and 8 p.m. showings. So it's available right now. Tickets, you can get at Ticketmaster or go to the Blaisdell box office to purchase your tickets. The movie is actually going to be featured at the Senior Fair at the Blaisdell Exhibition Hall September 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And actually, Stacey Hayashi, the executive producer, will be the ambassador. You'll see it in probably the Thursday paper, September 27th, the story. And so it's going to be a great event that weekend for all you seniors and even guys my age that are taking care of their parents. So the second half of this show today, we're going to talk about the movie, actually the making of the movie, which I felt so fascinating. All the research that Stacy did, but we have here Alex Bocheri and Dean Sensui. So welcome to the show, guys. You're the producer, one of the producers, Dean?
Yeah, one of the producers with Ann Misawa.
Ann Misawa.
Yeah.
Okay. I never think I've ever met Ann.
She's with ACM, and she's a director and director of photography in her own right, very talented person. Oh,
okay. And so, Alex, I heard you, when you started with this show, you were the second, actually, director.
Yeah, Stacy had been trying to get this, I'm sure she explained, she'd been trying to get this movie made for a very long time. And, I didn't have any experience with this story. I didn't know it very well.
You're in the 20s. Still in the 20s.
Yes. And actually, when I met Stacy, I was still a student at the University of Hawaii. Wow. And that actually connects to what Dean just said. The other producer of the film, Ann Misawa, was the chairman of the Academy for Creative Media at the time, which is the UH film school. And I was a student there. And Stacy was producing a documentary for the Department of Health with another friend of ours. And they hired some students, myself included, to be camera people on that show. This was in 2012. And from there, that's when we met. And then I started helping her make promotional material for this film and to try to get some support. And along the way, we just grew closer, and I grew to know the story really well and become, you know, very attached to it. And then I was given the opportunity to direct the film.
Wow. Now, you back up. You mentioned UH is a film school? I did not know that.
Yeah, the Academy for Creative Media. It's a digital cinema program, and it's a two-year program. You can get your bachelor's in creative media. And, I went there from 2010 to 2012.
I would ask my friend. She better go over there and help you guys out, give her experience. So Stacy just came back from our break here. So Stacy, we talked about how Alex met you. You were a college student when you took over the project on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, when we first met, yeah.
Now, did you have any director experience?
Yeah, I had made my own short films in school and out just on my own. I'd been making films since I was a teenager. And then after we met, we had the opportunity to make a short film together. Based on a story from...
Another real hero, Herbert Yanamura, who saved 1,500 people in the Battle of Okinawa.
Yeah, so it's another period piece, World War II drama, but it was a short film that Stacy produced and I was able to direct. And through that experience, we determined that we could make a larger scale thing together.
Hey, Stacy, actually, I want to kind of back up. There's been other movies about the 442nd 100th Battalion.
Mm.
And so why is this so different?
Well, this is actually told from the point of view of the Japanese Americans versus, you know, there was a movie called Go For Broke, same title. This is not a remake, though. It's a completely different story that Hollywood made in 1950 with Van Johnson.
That was very, I mean, it's a movie with stars.
It was progressive for its time. Yeah. And there are actually some of the real 442 veterans in it. However, as the veterans say, sometimes the Howley guy gets the girl and we get the pig. So,
Van Johnson, he was in a movie, huh?
Yeah.
And he did get the girl. He wasn't Asian.
Right. Yeah. So we thought that we could tell a more genuine, truthful point of from the perspective of the real, in my mind, the real heroes.
And it's in color.
Right.
Yeah, Dean did the color too, right?
So Dean, our producer, how'd you meet Dean? Did you know Dean from before? Dean, and by the way, Dean Sensu, if you know the name, you have your own show.
Yeah, Hawaii Goes Fishing. But before that, I was a Star Bulletin chief photographer.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when I came out of college, I was trying to get into a film school, but there were none. So I took a 30-year
Well, you're a little older than Alex here.
And I'm a little older than Alex, but there was no film school when I was there either.
Did you want to be into media as well?
No, actually.
How'd you meet Dean?
Software engineer. You know, I don't even remember.
You posted something about you're going to make a film about 440
Seconds. Well, no, it was the comic book, right? Because I had written a comic book about the 100 442. And actually, I was still working on it when I met Alex. And, you know, we were working on that documentary for Matt Nagato. And I would bring, you know, the work in progress or whatever. And it's like, oh, what are you working on now? This is what I'm doing. And that's really, I don't know what Alex said before I came back. But that's kind of how it all started. Yeah.
So what was your, Dean, what was your side project that you worked with movie? You said cinematography or?
So, yeah, so that's what I wanted to get into. And mostly I wanted to do the cinematography end of it. But it ends up, I ended up doing visual effects for this film. And I did a little bit of visual effects for
practical effects, too. Yes. Dean's very modest.
He built the sets, too. He built most of the sets.
Build a set? I mean, physically build a set?
Yeah.
So, like, in the Japanese school scene there, it was actually a big stage, and it didn't look like a Japanese school. So Dean was like, that's dumb. I'm going to make the wall disappear.
So built a fake wall out of quarter-inch
plywood. Is that the one Jake's in that?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
by the way, guys, if you listen to the show today, Jake Shumakuru, actually a lot of actors that people know are in the movie, in the film.
Right. And so Jake is a friend of mine from high school, and he was always supposed to write the soundtrack, but it's difficult to write a soundtrack when there's no movie.
17 years. So you're a Kaiser grad too?
No. He went to Kaimuki and I went to Mizunami, but we met in high school. Oh, yeah, okay. At a leadership camp.
So real quick then, why don't you mention some of the other names since we're on that topic?
Sure. So we've got Ban Daisuke, who people know as Kikaida. He plays Matsujiro Otani, who is the founder of the Honolulu Fish Auction, Akira Otani's father. And as I mentioned before, Peter Shinkoda, who's a bad guy in Daredevil. Chris Tashima, who has an Oscar. He plays Shigeo Yoshida. Who else people
know?
Cole Horibe. He was in So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, I know his father. But,
yeah. Very talented. He plays Bishop Fujitani, actually.
And we were really lucky that Hawaii has so many talented actors because all of our cast has Hawaii roots, you know, especially the VVV guys. And so it was really cool.
They're from Hawaii.
Yeah.
And you can't fake that, really.
And there were some really touching performances and some funny ones, too. just tremendous actors. We've got a lot of talent here. It's very impressive.
Besides karaoke singers, we have a lot of actors that are going on to big things on the mainland.
Oh, and there is some singing in the movie, too.
That's true. Yeah.
And they're really performing in front of the camera.
Right.
Not karaoke.
Singing and dancing.
A lot of very special things. I mean, and so in addition to the actors, I mean, for a lot of these guys, it was their first role, lead role, or, you know, it's an ensemble piece, but yeah, first big role. Like Kyle Kosaki, who did a fantastic job as Danny Noi. And then we have the real life families also playing. For example, the first AJA KIA reporting to Schofield was Terrell Migita. So his real family plays his family.
Really?
Yeah, in the movie. Wow. So
I know key scenes. I've seen the movie. That some key scenes that really struck me after the bombing. And there was a scene where who was it? Was it young Danny Noi with the girl with the
his sister
or neighbor?
Yes.
Tell me that's a great scene.
Right.
When they're playing with each other, they're neighbors or something.
Well, that was his sister.
Oh, his sister.
Yeah, but the neighbor did get killed, and that's actually, and so with the movie, you know, it's a mashup of a lot of stories. We tried to include as many as we could. That's actually Chick Takara's story. He was a 12-year-old boy running home to save his pets, and his house had been, you know, hit by the anti-aircraft shells coming from Pearl Harbor, and his house and his pets were already on fire. So in the movie,
the neighbor was killed.
The baby, yes, and so his and neighbor was killed neighbors? In front of his eyes, yeah. So that wasn't actually, like, in real life, yes, they were technically Danny Noi's neighbors, but it wasn't, it's Chick Takara's story. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it wasn't Danny Noi's sister who almost, you know, got, blown up. Just wanted to clarify
that. But Dan did go to the report for duty at the Red Cross station, and he did witness a lot of
And right, and so actually the story, the real story with Danny Noy was that he did see the woman with the baby, and he actually had to pick up her hand, which had been blown off, and he put it in the same box as her body. Yeah.
Wow. But you had to film, I mean, how did you film that with all the...
Well, you have to come and see the movie.
I think part of the movie, but I don't, you know, for me, like you said, Stacey, there's a lot of stories in the movie, and it is actually pretty emotional. I thought it was pretty emotional.
I'm glad.
An emotional guy, you know, but it was just when you think back about the movie, there's like that scene, but in the scene where they're taking away Akira Otani's father,
mm-hmm.
when the FBI came in, yep. Tell that part.
Right. So, yeah, he was a sick old man. You know, he was in bed. He was still wearing his yukata. Yeah, he went back to bed because, you know, they were supposed to be at the fish auction, had a grand reopening party for all the volunteers. And when we got bombed, they were like, well, let's go home because no one's coming. And then the FBI came and they had their handguns drawn and they hauled his father off very rudely. They wouldn't even – then so his so Akira's mother – she was like, you know, he's a sick man. Take me too. And they were like, we don't have room for you. Don't you understand? There's war, you know. And so what she did was she grabbed all his clothes and shoes, and she had to throw it into the car as it sped off.
And that's the part that's played by Bondaisky, who's he played Chikaida. So
right,
I told him that when he gets taken away by the FBI, he's gonna jump out of the car as Chikaida and fight the FBI.
How did you get him? By the way, he's a big name.
He's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, when we were cast, I was thinking about people. He was really the first choice, and I didn't know if he would want to do it. But you know, called up Joanne Inomiya and had a meeting with her.
Here?
No, he lives in Japan.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And he flew here, and he. Wow.
Yeah, Joanne Inomiya, man, I love her. She's awesome. Yeah, she was a huge help. She got his visa ready and prepped, and Bond
is such a nice guy. He's such a gracious man and a good actor.
And I had to tell Alex because he's too young to know.
you guys, like, you go Google.
He's an icon.
Can you find Chikaida online?
It's on YouTube. I watched some for research.
You got anybody over 50 in Hawaii, or maybe 45. They go, Chikaida, of course we know. I don't know. Leo, our engineer here, you know who Chikaida is?
No, Chikaida was after my generation, and I think it was in Stacey's generation.
Before, yeah, like people who are like 50, because yeah. Joanne was like, you're kind of young to know who
he was. He was really great to work with, though. He didn't speak English, so right away that presented an interesting challenge. But
did anybody
fun challenge.
Speak Japanese? Yeah, communicate?
Thank God our assistant director.
Our first AD, yeah.
Yeah, first assistant director is from Japan.
And a lot Dice of our Kasugawa. PAs, too. So our PAs were all from UH. Yeah. They're all production assistants. And they're all from UH, and they were fantastic. They did
so
much
stuff.
They
love when they heard his name come up, huh?
Well, they didn't know who he was.
That's right. The young people didn't know who he was. Oh, but he's so iconic.
Right. Yeah. Well, Kenny Inoue, he was excited. Danny Noy's son.
Right.
He's a Chikaida fan.
Oh, that's right. He mentioned it at the event. So Alex, you know, I came back because when I heard you were so young, I met you one of the times at the Kai's, at one of the meetings.
Yes.
And you were still in, and I heard you were still in college.
Well, not now.
Not
now.
Not
we
now,
met.
But back then.
Yeah. We met.
Wow, Stacey put a lot on your hand.
Well, you know, it slowly got bigger. You know, when we first started talking, funding and all these things weren't, and even the script wasn't finished yet. So we didn't necessarily know what we were getting into. And for me, having made a bunch of short films, and then we made a feature documentary together, there's no way I would turn something like this down. And on top of that, by going with Stacey and making a lot of this promotional material and interviewing the vets and making a short film together, the story became incredibly personal to me. And by the time I read the screenplay and kind of started thinking about how we could make the film, I knew I had to do it, so I wasn't going to let anyone else come in and direct the film at that point. It was incredibly personal to me.
And so, like yourself, Dean, did you have any personal connection as well? Like, did you have any relatives in the 442nd 100 Battalion?
No, actually, not really, but, you know, due to my ethnicity and having known about the history of Hawaii and whatnot, I understood all of that. There's a lot of things in the film that I didn't know about. Like, I didn't know about the VVV, and I knew about the... the soldiers being activated and handed the rifle at 5 bullets, but nothing much more beyond that. So getting to talk to Akira Otani was really intriguing because you get to hear it firsthand. mm-hmm. from these people. And really, you know, the magnitude of the film, I don't know about Alex and Stacey, but for me, it didn't really hit me until the morning of the first day of shooting. So I drive this 6.5-ton truck with all these props and other things in it. And here's this other 6.5-ton truck full of lighting gear. And we've got this whole crew out at the Waipahu Cultural Plantation Village. And we had built this set, this prison of war set. And you see this huge layout of all these people. And I'm thinking, my God, we're making a real movie.
And it is a real movie. It is a big time movie. Yeah, but
you know, all these times I've been only working on small projects, and a lot of things I just do as a one man band. But to see that many people forming this massive team, that kind of blew my mind on the first day.
That's what people are going to see. It is a big movie when you see it on a big screen. Mm-hmm. Some of the more memorable scenes were. What is the part where they come into Ilani Palace?
Oh yeah. So that actually happened. So they marched down King Street and into the palace gates, and there was a crowd of 20,000 people there. You know,
20,000 people. Mm-hmm. How'd you get 20,000 people?
Well, you know, you have to ask me. No, that was a really big day. That was a huge day, right?
We had about 400 extras that were able to come out for the day, and then Dean did his magic to make it look like a lot more.
There are hundreds of people who did their own magic. Like, we had like 20 volunteer special duty HPD just giving their time. Mayor Caldwell shut down the street, and Valea Khan, she's the Honolulu film commissioner, she really helped us out too. The parking structure, like city and county, they let us park there, and it was just so many people came out. The food was donated. Jim at Rainbow Drive-In provided chili for like 200. Roy Amaguchi came down. He made like 60 bentos. He brought it himself. Like, wow. He's never here, you know. But
yeah. He's not even originally from Hawaii.
Oh, well, he grew up here.
Yeah, he grew up. Yeah.
Well, all this is really just another example of how this film is really a product of a community of people that came together to make it. It wasn't like a Hollywood film where they fly in all these department heads and
or
then
had any
hire.
Money whatsoever. Well, money.
Also, we didn't have money.
Well, the legislature did help you out a few years back,
big
right?
Time,
yes, right. Oh, yeah. $500,000, and it sounds like a lot of money, but let me tell you, like, what it looks like on screen is so much more. At least a couple million dollars because of all the things that were donated and given, like HMI, mm-hmm. Hawaii Media. You know, they gave us so much of their equipment, their lens packages.
Yeah. Like, the Ahunas.
Right.
And all the explosions, the smoke effects. And fire.
We had explosions.
We had top-notch everything
He was going to do it for us, and we just have to pay for the materials, but he donated everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are the guys who do the effects for Hawaii 5-0 and all the big really? Shows. Yeah, and they did it for us.
Wow.
And then all the equipment came from Hawaii Media Inc., as Stacey said, and they do all the equipment rental for Hawaii 5-0 and a lot of big movies that come to town. So it was support from all over.
Oh
yeah, they're the best. They're the best.
And then whose son? Is it Danny's son or Dean's son? Well, Ryan
Desjarlais.
Yeah,
Ryan Desjarlais. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was our key grip.
Came from
HMI. The crane, right?
The
we
had a techno crane, which is usually a very expensive piece of equipment, was
we
donated
could
for us.
Not have afforded that.
To make
ever.
It look like a, you know, a big epic film,
to give
which
you
it
that
is.
Grand feeling right above them coming in. You'll have to see it.
I mean, let me tell you, I've seen it when we first did the special last year, and actually it was at the Hawaii International Film Festival.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many people I've talked to about the film. They couldn't see it because it was sold out.
Yeah.
It was a sold out, 10 showings at least?
Yeah.
A lot of people have seen it, yeah.
But a lot of people have not seen it.
Yes.
September 27th at the Blaisdell Concert Hall. I think it's 1 o'clock, 5:30, and 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if you have any kids out there that go to public school in town, we're inviting them. Hopefully we'll get about 2,100 kids into the theater concert hall Thursday morning, which we're working on right now. So if you're listening and you have somebody that can help us out, we're inviting 2,100 kids for free to come view the show. Thanks to Roberts Hawaii, is going to donate some of the transportation. So if you're listening, check it out. It's a big time movie. But you know, one of the scenes at the end where they actually tell that part, Stacey, and where they after they
were they after the VVV and after when they went to war, right?
Well, our movie ends before they go to war.
Oh, that's right.
Well, before they even go to training, actually. Right. Yeah. It's all in Hawaii.
And so why did you stop it then? I thought you
were because...
Ran out of money.
Because, no. It's our hope that this is like a pilot episode for a 10-part limited series, like Band of Brothers, because there are so many stories, you know, right, that really need to be told. And if you see, you know, Danny Noe, he's not with them. And, yeah, and that's true. But yeah, there are so many stories to tell, and we just hope that people would see this and want to know more, and someone would fund us. And so that might be a pipe dream, but you know, it's got to put it out there, because really they were all over the world. It's not just the 100442 that were in Europe. But it's the stories like Ted's, right? The MIS who were all over the Pacific. They saved lives. They were in, you know, China, and also in the China, India, Burma theater. They were on board the battleship Missouri when Japan surrendered. They were, you know, they were integral and key. So
I know, Al, before we met, you guys actually came back from Normandy. You guys won an award. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to win the
Outstanding Feature Film.
Yeah, Outstanding Feature Film for the World War II Film Festival. And we got to show the film in Normandy, France, really? On the anniversary of D-Day, or the day before, something like that.
Yeah, well, it was June 4th.
Yeah.
You guys actually flew there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the cast of Band of Brothers were also there.
And they saw the film, too.
Yeah, so three of the cast were judges that picked our film. Yeah, very great. So on our Facebook page, there's a picture of the cast of Band of Brothers holding our little movie poster.
I know we feature on your poster board here, but can you mention a few of the other awards that you won?
Well, there was the Movie Maker Award at HIFF, and they created that award supposedly for us because our film exemplified indie filmmaking and, you know, rallying a community to come out and support it. What else?
The Maui Times Best Film.
Oh, yeah. So Maui has the Hawaii Film Critics Society awarded it the Best Hawaiian Film of last year, even though technically it wasn't finished yet.
No. It was out there.
Yeah.
And so...
and we actually showed the film. Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard hosted a screening on Capitol Hill on October 30th of last year, which was the day that the 442 rescued the Lost Battalion of Texas.
Oh,
yeah.
They showed that on PBS about a month ago.
Oh, yeah, that NHK thing. Yeah, so she and Congressman Mark Takano, who is from California, they co-hosted that, and we had a panel, and Jake played the theme song for the movie, and as well as some other things. And actually, we should mention to the viewers who are not in Hawaii, or the listeners who are not in Hawaii, you can actually watch the movie on the internet. It's on. We have it on Vimeo. But you can get to it from our website, gofrbrokemovie.com.
You also have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so you can either rent it and watch it, or they can actually buy it.
Yeah, both. So you can rent it for $12, and I think it's like 3 days or something, or you can just buy it, and you can just watch it whenever, and it's like $25.
Right. Well, good for you. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming in by and taking the time, but the movie is so, like I said, for me, it just, when my dad talked, I knew he went to Vietnam. He was in ROTC in 1946, but I knew his older brother, who actually... When he was telling about his two other brothers being 100 Battalion, he told me, my Uncle Terry Ihara, who was in 442nd with Danny Noy, he actually paid for my father's schooling, college. And so when I approached him, I said he wants to donate to the show, I mean to the movie. And then he was telling me a story about that. So thank you so much. Don't forget September 27th, which is a Thursday night, at the Blaisdell Concert Hall, actually 1 o'clock, 5:30, 8 o'clock. And like I said, if you have some kids in public school or private school in town, we're going to find a way to get them to the Blaisdell Concert Hall at 9 o'clock that morning. So Dean Sensui, Alex Bukeri, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any last words?
Come see the film.
Yeah,
please.
Come see the movie.
We'll be there. You're going to be impressed. And you did a great job after... I know a long, long journey here, but thank you so much. Don't forget Generations Magazine, Stacey and the magazine, and the movie's on the cover of Generations Magazine. So until we see you guys again, have a great weekend. Aloha and live well.